Baseball's a talking sport. And Kay Scott and Big Ben are talking Diamond Talk, the Texas Rangers postgame show. Live from Humperdinck's near Ameriquest Field in Arlington. Immediately following the game tonight on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.
All right, we are getting underway from out here at the Temple tonight. It's the Rangers and the St. Louis Cardinals out here. Probably one point of high intrigue for Ranger fans will be another start for Juan Dom tonight. Juan Dominguez will be on the mound, and he will be opposed by Jeff Suppan. And now with a 40-liner, here is Dan Paul.
Michael, you can go join Kevin Scott at the Dart West End Station, Pacific Avenue between Market Street and Lamar in Dallas. That is Monday, June 14th from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. Register to win ticket T-shirts and Frisco Rough Riders tickets. There will be ticket chicks on hand. Come down to the West End and register for the Hoop It Up right in the Dart rail down. Dart will be giving weekly passes away as supplies last. Come by the Dart West End location and also pick up a new destination guide. Kevin Scott at Dart at West End Station Monday.
With Kevin Scott, huh?
7 to 9 a.m.
Kevin Scott.
Wow. Early hours there.
What do you think would have happened if they offered that appearance to me?
I think it would either be turned down or, if not turned down, missed altogether. That's what I think would happen. Well, it is time now for our long put off discussion of Ray Charles, who passed on to the next plane yesterday at the age of 73. Reading the story in the Dallas Morning News, it said that he died in Beverly Hills, a long way away from his humble, rural, wrong side of the track beginnings at Albany, Georgia. He was surrounded by family and friends. The cause was acute liver disease, it said.
Was he a big drinker? I know he had a heroin problem at one time in his life, but did he drink a lot?
I don't know what his alcohol habits were, but you can probably surmise that he was no stranger to a little nip every now and then. Now, the question that was raised yesterday, where's Cobra?
Do you really want me to tell you?
Oh.
Do you really want me to tell you?
He had to go do that now, huh?
He's amazing. Whenever he goes anywhere, he has to check out the facilities.
He had to do that now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Snake.
All right. Well,
and I wasn't walking in there. Because the last time I walked into a bathroom at a stadium when he was in there, scarred me for life.
Well, the question was raised yesterday, what is so great about Ray Charles? And one of the reasons I really didn't want to get into this yesterday is because I wanted to come armed with some ammunition to answer that question. So we brought some Ray Charles stuff in here today. Now, this is primarily popular stuff of his. You know, there's no real deep cuts here or anything like that. Oh, nice. Oh, nice. Popcorn everywhere.
Way to go, Greg.
Don't you blame that on me.
Way to go, Hammer.
Ron, who do you think did that, me or the snake?
It could be either one of you if you want to know the truth.
No, it couldn't be me.
Did you do it, Cobra?
Yeah, I did it, all right. I was trying to bring a snack up for everyone. I spilt it.
Well, your heart was in the right place.
Thank you.
Anyway, Ray Charles started out in jazz and R&B. He started out playing piano. He was blind from the time he was seven due to...
blindness?
Yeah, due to... it was glaucoma. Or at least later they thought it was glaucoma. He attended a school for the deaf and blind in St. Augustine, and there he learned how to play piano, as well as read, compose, and write music in Braille. And he learned to play keyboard, saxophone, clarinet, and trumpet. By the time he was 18, he was already gigging everywhere and wowing all the guys that he played with, and his path in this world was all set out in front of him. Now, for a long time, he was popular with black audiences, and that remained really true until 1960. Now, prior to then, there were a few songs that he did that started to get heard by white audiences, such as I Got a Woman, Drowning My Own Tears, and a few others. But in 1960, he really crossed over for the first time with this. Play cut number two, Psycho. I'm sure everyone will remember this. Now, he had to cheese up his scene a little bit. But, see, that was the genius of Ray Charles. He could do just about anything and make it work great.
This was his first big hit, crossover hit?
Yeah. Now, those other songs were heard by quiet audiences, but this is the one that really brought him into the mainstream.
Georgia. Did he write this?
No. The whole day through. That, of course, the great Georgia on My Mind. Just an old sweet. And that is also the oldest thing that we will be examining here today. Now, another one everybody is familiar with is Cut One, Psycho. So go ahead and just, I mean, everybody's heard Georgia on My Mind. Let's roll this. Now, usually when Ray Charles would play, he had a rhythm section, he had a horn section, he had three girl singers, and all are prominently featured on this.
You might hear that song at the ballpark tonight if the Rangers chase a pitcher early.
Did he write this? Did he write anything?
No, he was primarily not a... Well, there are a couple that he wrote, but he was not primarily known as a songwriter. All right, now, there are a few songs that this was paired up with. One you will recognize as production music, under which we sometimes do live spots. Play number six, Psycho.
This is him?
Yes.
I had no idea.
This
Did you, Greg?
This is an instrumental called One Mint Julep, which back in the day was considered a very, very risque, very, very, you know, racy song.
I feel like you need to go into some Autoflex copy.
Right. Hey there, Corby.
But how are you going to call unless you make that call? Now, prior to all this, along about the time of I Got a Woman, the great Ray Charles actually lived in South Dallas for a while. But he saw that the scene out there was not for him. Bigger things were on the way for him, such as this, and he moved to Los Angeles. Now, also, I'll tell you what, let's skip ahead a little bit. The thing that really put Ray Charles across to white America came in 1962 when he recorded a song called Modern Sounds in Country and Western Music, as it was known back
that's a,
then.
That's a song?
No, that was the name of the album.
Oh, okay. Okay. My parents had this album.
Yes, mine did too. The strains of this were wafting through my house constantly as a youth. And the big song off of this was this right here, Play Cut 10, Psycho. This was number one on KLIF for weeks and weeks and weeks in 1962.
Oh, dear. I've made up my mind. Well, it reminds me when I was about 5 years old. My parents used to play that all the time.
You know, he does have a super unique voice. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody sounds like this.
But it's actually a voice that's rather easy to imitate. There are a lot of imitators out there. But the thing about Ray Charles is you could imitate him, but you just couldn't equal him. He had something that nobody who tried to imitate him had.
What was it?
I don't know.
Why?
Some intangible something.
He had some soul, Mike.
Yeah, that's what it was. He had soul like few others. And that is one thing that you will hear people say about him over and over again as E.T. and all the rest of them get a hold of him and ask him to talk about Ray Charles.
You know, I was watching something last night, and a cut from some musician, some old musician, and he said the thing that a lot of people didn't know about Ray Charles was he was probably a better alto sax player than he was a piano player.
Now, I don't doubt that. Anyway, on this album, what he did was he would take some really, really old country songs. And this is like 1962. These songs were, a lot of them were 12, 15, 20 years old even back then. And he would take those old country songs, which really hadn't been dredged up by anybody in years, because back then it was different. Songs didn't last 25 and 30 years back then like they do today. You know, I mean, we're hearing Steely Dan 30 years after the fact.
Yeah.
That didn't happen back then. Once you were done with a song, you were done with it. That was it. But he would take these old songs, dredge them up, arrange them, orchestrate them, and just put his own twist to them. And that was the great thing about him. I mean, he could just take anything like that, put his own spin on it, and make it work.
So he's a good Joe Cocker?
No, he's more than a good Joe Cocker. Here's another song off that album. Go to Cut 20, Psycho. This was if that was the really big hit off of modern sounds in country and western music, this was probably the second biggest.
Born to lose, I've lived my life.
You think this is cheesy?
It is what it is, you know?
Didn't Ray Price make this pretty famous?
Every dream.
I don't know. I don't know who did this first.
I thought it was Eddie Arnold that did this.
It might have been. I'll look in the book here. I got a little booklet on him, and I'll see if I can find out.
This was on that same album, though.
Yeah, this was on the same album.
So
that's really kind of a look at his more mellow stuff. But, boy, when he wanted to go up-tempo on you and really hep it up,
no,
he flat could. Tell you what, let's take a break, and we'll listen to some of that next. It is 3:46 here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
KTCK, Dallas-Fort Worth. KTBK, Sherman-Denison. KTDK, Sanger. You're listening to The Hardline with Mike Reiner, Greg Williams, and Friendly Cobra on Dallas-Fort Worth's original all-sports station. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Have a little entertainment news coming up here in just a bit. We're talking about the passing of the great Ray Charles yesterday. At the age of 73, Ray Charles was a man of huge influence, and you probably already have and certainly will in days to come hear all manner of people telling you so. There will probably be television specials this summer where guys get together and do Ray Charles songs. There might be a CD like that come out where, you know, how they'll get a bunch of groups and acts together and have them do songs by this guy or that guy. They'll probably do one for Ray Charles. And with good reason. His influence ranged far and wide, and you don't find too many guys, too many players out there who are of a certain age that were not touched by Ray Charles in some way. Now, we listened to some of his more mellow stuff a little while ago, and if you thought it was kind of cheesy, I understand that, because when I was a kid, I did too. But I later came to see the genius of that, and it happened mainly after I heard the original versions, or I guess other older versions of those songs, and saw what he had done to them, and just how he had taken those songs and made them his own. But when Ray Charles wanted to go up-tempo on you, he could flat-out swing. And this was one of his older ones. This came out in 1961.
Unchain my heart.
Unchain my heart.
Baby, let me be.
Unchain my heart.
Unchain my heart.
Did he sell just a buttload of records?
Yes, he did.
You got me so.
I mean, his career ranged from the 30s and or the 40s till, you know, recent years.
Yeah.
So there was that. And there
I love
was
that song right there.
And there was also this that came out a little bit a few years after that. In fact, there are a couple of rather curious songs that he put out as he was after he got off of heroin. He took about a year off to
What? I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, yes.
Ray
yes.
Charles was a heroin addict?
Yes.
For about 20 years.
I had no idea.
Yes. He started doing it when he was in his teens. And in 1965, his heroin use got so bad that he had to just stop down and get off of it.
He had to have had an accomplice for that, didn't he?
Well, he probably had all kinds of them. Now, did he stay off of it for the rest of his life? I don't know. But I know that there was never, at least I don't recall hearing of any kind of further rehab or anything like that, so I'm assuming he did. But yes, he was...
Heroin?
Yes. He said he started doing it when he was in his teens.
That was big in the 40s. I didn't even know that stuff was around in the 40s.
My gosh, it was legal in the 20s. You could, oh, not the 20s, but in the early 1900s, it was legal. You could order it and buy it out of the, well, you could buy opium out of the Sears Roebuck catalog.
And that's what heroin's a derivative of, is opium?
Mm-hmm.
And hey, he was from the hood, man. It was probably everywhere back then. Anyway, there are a couple of rather curious songs, and we're going to divert here a little bit from the script that I gave you, Psycho, where he seemed to fly in the face of his heroin addiction and recovery therefrom with this song right here. Go to number 4. Probably going to be a little bit more familiar with the live Humble Pie version of this.
No doctor, because I know what's ailing me.
Which had many more sledgehammer-like characteristics than this does.
I don't need no doctor, no, no, because I know what's ailing me.
I'm more familiar with the version made popular by Wasp.
They did this?
Yeah.
All right, go to cut 3, Psycho. Now, here's another one like that. That, of course, Let's Go Get Stoned.
God, I wish that was clean.
Pull that.
All right, then, let's go to cut 16 now, Psycho. Here's another early Ray Charles Hep hit.
What was the name of that last song, Mike?
Nothing. It didn't have one.
People talking, trying to pick us up. Why won't they let us be? Bricks and stones, they break my bones. Talk don't bother.
What did he sing in a...
The
Blues Brothers. Did he sing something in there?
Baby, please don't go.
Baby, please don't go, I think.
That's the first time I ever remember seeing him as a kid.
But the king of all Ray Charles Hep songs has got to be this. A live version from 1965. Cut 14, Psycho. It takes us a while to get going, but it is well worth it.
All right.
Well, all right.
Oh, yeah. This is a cool song.
No, it's a very cool song. It's, of course, the great What I Say.
Did you ever see him?
Once. At Nick's Uptown.
Here?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of white people there?
Mm-hmm. A lot of white people there. Of course, the time to see him was not then. That was probably in 1985.
What was the time to see him? Back in the mid-60s? Or?
Yeah. In the late 50s and early 60s was probably the time to see him.
Hey, 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 yeah.
And then later on, he started covering more modern songs, such as Eleanor Rigby. And, of course, we all remember America the Beautiful, which he sang at Super Bowls and venues such as that over the years.
I never knew he covered Eleanor Rigby.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right, cut 18, Psycho.
It's a little different than the Beatles version.
Now, when he did this, Ron, did he arrange all this?
Oh, yeah.
So what we're hearing right here is he arranged it and produced it?
Mm-hmm.
Wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door.
I've never heard this. This is cool as heck.
I've always heard he was very hands-on in his sessions, and he knew what he wanted to hear, and if you didn't give it to him, you were out.
You know, it was on Fox News last night, but they were running some kind of clip on him.
I like that attitude.
And it showed him at a board. And he was doing all the controls.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, how does he know?
Yeah.
How does he know which buttons to push? But, hey, he was doing it, and it might have just been for the camera. But
well, they probably showed him, but, you know, again, he knew what he wanted to hear. You know, they say that blind people's other senses are heightened, you know? And I never have quite understood how blind guys could play the piano. But, I mean, enough of them have over the years.
But
so.
Doesn't a good piano player, he doesn't look at the keys, does he?
No.
So I guess it'd be the same thing.
And it says he fathered 9 children with 7 different women and was married twice.
Hello. Oh, my. Oh, no. Ray.
He was a womanizer.
Well, he couldn't see. What do you expect him to do?
Yeah, and I mean, anything throws himself at you, you're like, oh, what the hell? You know? Where's your barometer? How do you know?
That might be kind of great to be that way.
Oh, absolutely. I know you start talking about, like, Mulehead, and he's like, what's that?
Yeah. Might be some ugly, torn-up girl, but he doesn't know.
Only thing he could sense was a mustache. Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
And a gut.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, but...
I mean, he might think that's something else.
Like what?
He doesn't know.
Yeah.
Like an extra leg?
Like a big old thigh or something. Who knows? Maybe even juggage. He might get it confused.
Black, white, he didn't care.
No.
Doesn't matter.
Well, that'd be great if you're one of those hanger-oner groupie types. He'd be the guy that I'd be after.
Yeah. Well, you could probably make that score pretty easily,
yeah,
couldn't you?
But then again, you've always got buddies, though. They say, hey, Ray.
She ain't that great,
she ain't
Ray.
She ain't that great, buddy.
And you know what he probably says?
I don't care.
So what?
Well, Ray Charles dead at the age of 73. E-News?
Yes, Jimmy Kimmel in a little bit of hot water, and we will tell you who's playing the biggest music festival in Texas.